Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, episode 30. Let's have some fun. Welcome to this episode of the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. One of the most important of all tasks we perform as architects is project management. The success of each project sits squarely in our hands. If managed poorly, a single project may set our progress back for years. If managed well, it may just take us to great heights. This week on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I will share my 10 rules to project management success. But before we start with this week's topic, I want to share a couple of thoughts. Last week's podcast was awesome. Well, not necessarily the podcast itself. I thought that was pretty good too. But the response to last week's podcast was outstanding. The podcast was called BIM Sanity. And I asked the question, is AutoCAD LT a better choice for small firm architects? And boy, did you guys respond. If you want to see their comments, go to entrearchitect.com/episode29. Essentially, the comments have become the ultimate guide to architectural software for small firms. I had I just checked. I have 21 comments, and they're keep rolling in. And they're not just quick little comments. They're very thoughtful and developed responses to my question regarding AutoCAD LT versus BIM. Listeners posted in support of so many different options, including AutoCAD, AutoCAD LT, Revit, Revit LT, Vectorworks, SketchUp, SoftPlan, FormZ, Chief Architect, everything that you can think of. They have comments there, and they're long, thoughtful comments. And I appreciate everybody's response there and the information that you shared. If you're interested in learning more about the different choices of software for architects, I highly recommend that you go visit that post if you haven't. And if you haven't yet given your opinion and you have an opinion on AutoCAD versus BIM, please go over to the post for the episode at entrearchitect.com/episode29 and leave your thoughts. Next, I just want to mention this week's blog post article, Business Basics for Architects, Gross Income versus Net Income. And it's the first in a series of posts, which I'll occasionally put up on the blog. I don't know what my schedule will be yet, but occasionally I'm going to focus on the very basics of business success. And this week I talk about gross income versus net income. It's one of those things that I've always mixed up and didn't quite know and understand until I looked into it and understood it for my business years ago. So what's the difference and why it's important is something that we should know, why it's important to know the difference between net income and gross income. So I'd also love to know what some other basics that you have that you'd like me to cover. If you visit the post at entrearchitect.com/net income and leave a comment there, I will add that to the list of business basics that I'll cover. So let's get into this week's topic. I've been continuously improving my firm's project management systems since we launched Five Cat Studio back in 1999. And with each new project, I learn more and I modify the systems we follow. So here are my 10 rules for better project management. Number one, create systems for success. Systems are the sound structure of a successful architecture firm. They establish the discipline required for financial success, and they also create the freedom to develop a portfolio of very highly developed architecture. We create systems by breaking down our projects into many separate processes. Every firm with any experience has many of these processes already in place. They may be documented as formal systems, or they may be just general understandings of how we do it here. When a process is fully developed into a system with supporting documents of forms and checklists, it allows us to focus more on the details and develop a successful design. Systems allow us to be better architects. Number two, know what they want as well as what they don't want. When we receive a contract for a new project, we all want to jump right into designing. It's our nature as architects to want to solve the problems before us. The most successful projects, though, are the ones where we fully understand the people living and working within the architecture we design. Before we grab the roll of trace and start sketching with a Sharpie, we gather as much information about the users of our buildings as possible. We learn about not only what they expect from us, which may be very different from what they should expect, but we also learn about the people who they are and what their personal tastes are and their styles. What are their passions and their hobbies? Where do they go on vacation? What are their favorite places? What do they like? And more importantly, what they don't like. With a full understanding of the people using our buildings, we can better manage the process and develop a project that exceeds their expectations. Number three. Listen and listen carefully. I tell clients that we could design a successful project with nothing more than a scope of work and a site plan. And this is true, but it's only after listening to our clients' hopes and dreams that we can take our project to its absolute pinnacle. When we listen carefully throughout the project, our clients and our contractors will guide us to success. The problems that may derail a project and possibly become a liability nightmare will come to light way before they become a problem. And when we are listening carefully, people will tell us what we need to know. So number four is estimate often. The quickest way to an unhappy client is to design a project beyond their budget. And although our agreement requires that project budget be the responsibility of the client, we assist our clients and manage their budget throughout the entire process. I begin by asking them for their expected budget at our very first meeting. This allows me to discuss the realities of their project costs and give them some rules of thumb numbers that can help them adjust their budget or their expectations accordingly. I ask them again to state their expected budget as part of my pre-designed client questionnaire to confirm their expectations in writing. And then we prepare schematic designs based on those expectations. And when we present our schematic designs, we prepare rough cost estimates based on cost per square foot. And we attach them to each scheme. And after a few tweaks and revisions, they pick a scheme, and we recommend that a general contractor prepare a third-party independent cost estimate, which is typically based on market prices and is more accurate than our rough numbers. With a signed authorization form approving the schematic design and its associated cost, we then proceed with the remaining phases, and we revisit the cost with any changes in scope and again following design development. This continuous reminder of the project cost keeps expectations clear and clients happy. Okay, number five. This is an important one, guys. Don't give your services away. Before we start any project at Five Cat Studio, we spend a day documenting the existing conditions of a project site. Most of our projects are additions and alterations, and we need a very complete set of documents in which to base our designs. Most of our municipalities that we work in require a complete floor plan for a building permit in order for them to confirm that the project is in full compliance with town zoning and building codes. Don't give your services away. Be clear what scope is included in your base services, and more importantly, what is not included. At Five Cat Studio, we charge additional for preparing the existing conditions documents, and clients are happy to pay for those services. Provide a list of additional services offered and a clear description of how you will get paid for those services. Many firms, in order to keep clients happy, will provide additional services for free. With clear boundaries set and expectations that additional services are in fact additional, clients will be happy to pay you for those services. When you're paid adequately for your services, your business will become healthier and your clients will be happier. Number six, manage expectations and keep them informed. Clients have a story in their minds. It's written by HGTV reality television and often inaccurate anecdotes from friends and relatives. From our very first meeting, we need to start rewriting that story. We provide each client with a complete written description of each phase and an estimated timeline for when each will occur. Every meeting is followed up with written minutes. We describe what was discussed and inform them of what should be next expected. When clients know what to expect, they are better clients and projects are more successful. Number seven, build rapport with the contractor. During the bidding phase, I meet with each contractor at the job site and review the project in detail. When I meet a new contractor, most speak with authority and position themselves in a very defensive stance. Most will tell me how long they've been in business and how many happy clients they have. I've been doing this for 25 years. This is the phrase, or one similar, that immediately tells me that I'm not working with a team player, because it's usually followed up with, I know what I'm doing. The truth is, I've been doing this for much longer than that. I've grown up on construction sites, worked with contractors before and during architecture school, and I'm currently celebrating my 21st year in the architectural profession. So I know what I'm talking about too. But I don't say that. What I do is give the contractor lots of respect, and I listen carefully to what he or she is saying. I quickly build a rapport with them. From the many years of living and working with contractors, I know well how they think and their opinions of architects. I defer to their experience and show them my respect. Most contractors do, in fact, have lots to teach us about construction, and I let them know that I value their opinions, and they quickly learn that I am not an obstacle to overcome, but a teammate with whom to align. Number eight. Always provide construction administration. The most crucial phase of any architectural project is construction. Most of the earlier phases are built upon an excitement of what can be. When things get real, all that you worked for can be wasted. Architects must provide construction administration services. This is not an optional phase, in my opinion. It is during construction administration when we confirm that our designs are executed as per our intention and as per our clients' expectations. If we're not actively involved during construction, we become an easy target when unexpected and unforeseen conditions arise. Rather than managing the process and quickly resolving the issues and reinforcing our value, we become the scapegoat for contractors. Every issue becomes the fault of the architect, and we lose the relationship, authority, and credibility that we so arduously earned during the earlier phases. I'll say it again. Always provide construction administration. Number 9, have the courage to act. Most problems during a project can be solved before they become crises. If we've been involved in the process and we've been listening well, the problems will announce themselves. We must act upon them early, bring them to light as soon as they appear, and work as a team to resolve them quickly. Most problems will not resolve themselves. Ignoring them in order to avoid the conflict will only allow the problems to grow and become a much more difficult issue to manage. Anticipate the problems, seek them out, and solve them. Have the courage to act, and your projects will proceed with success. Okay, so here we are, number 10. Follow up with clients and bring a gift. It's important to follow up after the project is complete and confirm that our client is happy, because our success is based on their satisfaction and their willingness to spread the word about our fantastic project management skills. When the project is complete and they've been living in the space for a few weeks, we schedule a visit. We make it quick, we bring a thoughtful gift, and we have them show us around. We let them point out all the great things that we've designed for them and how these spaces will change their lives. And we enjoy that moment, because that moment, that's what we've been working for. A happy client, proud of the space we designed. This visit reinforces our relationship with our client. It's a great final impression, and it provides a story for them to tell their friends when showing off their new space. It also gives us an opportunity to address any unresolved issues with the project, or with the contractor, or with us, or our firm. I always ask for feedback. How did we do? And how might we improve? This is how we continuously improve our systems. So I have one more. Bonus rule. Rule number 11. Photograph your work. And this might sound obvious, might sound part of that it should be part of marketing. And in fact, it is. But it's also a very important part of project management. A few months after completion, when the leaves are green and the spaces are furnished, we schedule a day to visit with our photographer. Shooting professional photos shows our clients that we are proud of their project and we want to show it off to the world. The photos are great for our portfolio and for sharing on social media. And we often send these photos along with a great story about the project to our local magazines and newspaper editors. Editors are always looking for inspiring stories, and the photos are incentives for them to proceed with publication. So that's number 11. So there are my 11 rules for project management success. Let me quickly review them for you. Number 1, create systems. Number 2, know what they want as well as what they don't want. Number 3, listen carefully. Number 4, estimate, and estimate often. Number 5, don't give your services away. Number 6, manage expectations and keep them informed. Number 7, build rapport with the contractor. Number 8, this is my bug here, always provide construction administration. You guys who are not providing construction administration, you are losing a tremendous opportunity to keep clients happy. Number 9, have the courage to act. Number 10, follow up with clients and bring a gift. And the bonus rule, photograph your work. So, what are your rules for better project management? Do you have any thoughts of things that I did not cover? Anything to add that you want to share? I would love to start a discussion over at the blog like we did last week. Go to entrearchitect.com/episode30, episode 30, and leave a comment. And this podcast is just to get the ball rolling. The real information is found over at the blog when listeners like you share your thoughts. So I'll see you over there. Before I wrap up here, I want to let you know that I will soon have a very important announcement about the first session of Entree Architect Academy, the online business training course for architects. The first session will not be announced to the general public. Did you hear that? It's not going to be announced on Twitter or Facebook. It's only going to be announced on the Academy mailing list, and space is going to be limited. So if you want to be notified with details of the first session of Entree Architect Academy, go to entrearchitect.com/courses, sign up, join that list, and you will have an opportunity to enroll for session number one. And I also want to remind you to leave a review or rating at iTunes. EntreeArchitect.com/iTunes will send you right there to my iTunes page on the web. Just click the button that is labeled View in iTunes, and that will open up your iTunes app, or you can just open up your iTunes app and search for Entrepreneur Architect. And there on iTunes, you can leave your review for the show. And I'd love to know what you think of the show. So please go do that right now, because the episode's over, and you can click on entrearchitect.com/iTunes and go let me know what you think. So that's a wrap. Until next week, my name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. Thank you very much for listening.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.